welcome to episode 58 of Gallifrey Public Radio. This week we are joined by the lovely and talented Julie as we do our commentary on Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. But first, your host. I'm Jay Whitten.
Are we talking adult like Torchwood or adult like Cinemax after 11 p.m.?
And with me are Melissa Mazza.
I demand to be referred to as Sagacity from now on.
And Keir Hansen.
The jockstrap of Rassilon is formidable and large.
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But if we get into anything too serious, don't worry. We'll warn you again.
Welcome to episode 58 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we harness the power of a dying sun to keep, just to keep a Skype call functional, and to do all of our podcast post-production, our PPP, by sending messages back through time to tell us where to edit out the profanity.
Bleep. So,
episode 58, I am Melissa, but I wasn't here last week. You guys definitely rocked it without me, so... Welcome back, guys, and tonight we are joined by a special guest. So, first, we have Jay here. Hi, Jay.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right.
And Keir, how are you?
Fantastic, Melissa. How about you?
I am great. And we have Julie tonight. Welcome, Julie.
Hi.
So, tonight we're going to be talking about Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. You know, get your episode queued up because we're going to do a live commentary. But first we have a couple of, you know, news and things to get out of the way. How are you guys?
All right. Well, this was, kind of a bump week, I guess, for news in general, as we're, you know, expecting to get more and more information about the 50th. I think one of the things that everybody really was erupting, a bit about as we closed the recording on the last week's cast with Will, that the big upheaval the next day, I think, after we recorded, was the announcement of stateside theaters doing screenings of the 50th anniversary in 3D, similarly to what we knew the UK was going to have all along, and we were, you know, totes jelly of everything they had going on. So we knew, first off, we were told that there was going to be a Saturday evening showing in limited theaters, and we'll put a link in the dump there so you'll be able to see the rundown in case you hadn't heard everybody slowly levitating off of their desks as the news came about for those metro areas. And it is a very limited number of metro areas that are that are going to be providing this. But then the good news that came on the coattails of that was that they were going to do a more extensive theatrical release on the following Monday. So you got a better shot. Well, you probably don't have a shot by now.
Yeah, no. It seems like everything's pretty much sold out at this point.
Yeah. So if you weren't in the know, then you're in the parking lot. So enjoy.
Steal someone else's ticket. Exactly. Go back in time and steal.
Exactly. If you just leave a note for yourself that says, you know, it was me that stole my dad's keys all along. But that should be an interesting experience. I know a lot of people that have actually acquired their Monday tickets, and they're just using it to double up. But they're gonna, you know, watch the episode on television broadcast with friends and family at home on Saturday, and then go and really dive into it. You know, we all watch these episodes multiple times anyway, so you watch it first for the glow, and the second time for content, the third time to nitpick, the fourth time to, you know, whatever, watch for continuity errors or what have you. So the second time seeing it on an even larger experience has got to be fantastic. So.
In 3D.
I'm not big on 3D. I will, if there's a choice, I will actively avoid 3D, but just the sheer novelty of it in this one, I've got to go for it. You know?
Yeah.
For sure.
I want to see what some of the sequences are, because you know that they're going to have some sort of a massively altered opening sequence as well. They're definitely not going to stick with the standard they've been using through Series 7. So that
even
alone,
if they do, that would be awesome in 3D.
The TARDIS will come at your face, right?
Yeah. It's just,
I got vortex belch on me. So, yeah. And for those of you out there, listeners, who do have your tickets acquired, and if any of you actually do have your Saturday tickets acquired, let us know so that we can live vicariously through you. Please, please. Other good stuff, Jay?
Well, we've got some new stuff coming out about the Adventure in Space and Time. That's the majority of our news this week is actually wrapped up in all of that. You know, it's trying to make up for the stuff that we're not getting about Day of the Doctor. So first one is that we got some interviews released about it. I didn't have a chance to go through all of these, but we've got Mark Gatiss, David Bradley, Jessica Raine all talking about it. You know, Mark Gatiss is describing it as a love letter to Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of interesting to see some of their takes on it. You know, we've got an interview with Brian Cox, not the same one who's doing the science of Doctor Who, which we'll talk about in a minute, but the actor Brian Cox, who's actually going to be in the show.
It was fascinating, the fact that they've got this going on here. Are you talking about Professor Brian Cox, or are we talking about, you know, Scotsman Brian Cox?
Exactly. The actor? So, I mean, it's definitely interesting. You can go check it out in the show notes. They've got them all there. And it's very, you know, conscientious of spoilers, because you actually have to click on each person's interview to see it. So if you don't want to know, you know, what David Bradley has to say about it, you can just avoid his section. So it's very nice the way they did it in this new story. Mm-hmm. So, and then we've also got the posters were released for the Adventure in Space and Time. And these actually look pretty sweet. I like these.
Yeah, this is a nice throwback. I like it.
Yeah, very vintage looking.
Yes. I actually prefer the second, because it shows some of the a very kind artist's rendering of our early Cybermen and such. So treating them with a kind hand, so it did not look like their
pantyhose,
oil suits.
Yeah,
and their silver PJs.
Yeah. Anyway,
but in regards to that, I mean, that was, we've been wondering about actual broadcast time for that as well. That was and continues to plague us as far as hard details on the times for these on both sides of the pond, really, which kind of ties us in a bit to that additional piece of news where referring to the actual running time of the episode itself, whether or not you're considering additional content, because we knew all along BBC was going to be treating this as an entire week of little staggered releases of interesting, you know, bits and pieces. Even aside from the special programming that they were doing, they were going to be having little vignettes and little webisodes and other things that were going to be released as we get closer and closer. So we've got news on that as well. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is, I'm not sure if you guys talked about this last week, but there's discrepancies in how long the 50th anniversary is supposed to be. And some people are saying that it's about, it's going to be the length of a normal episode, but they're saying that it's going to be longer because there's going to be extended content. So I've seen a couple of things about that. Is that what you guys have seen?
I had always been going on that 75-minute standard, because that was the majority of the stuff that was released by the BBC all along when they first started saying that, you know, production is in the can and now they're just doing, you know, post-production marketing, was that 75-minute figure. And then it kind of squidgied up to 76 because of, you know, whatever, counter credits or you know, final edits allowing for a few extra seconds.
Yeah, the last thing I heard, and I'm not sure, I can't remember where I heard it from, but it was reliable sources. I remember it, but I can't remember which one. But it's the final runtime counts at exactly like 78 minutes.
No, I have it here. So this is, it's in the show notes. The length of the special itself varies from 86 minutes. From 76 minutes to 85 minutes. However, Doctor Who TV believes the additional 10 minutes are accounted for due to the fact that some of the screenings feature extra content. So therefore the special itself is 76 minutes and 44 seconds long. And I guess some places are going to stretch that out to 85 minutes with extra content. But I've been seeing all kinds of reports that it's going to be an 85-minute special. So apparently it's going to be 76 minutes, 44 seconds, the special
right,
itself.
Yeah. Call this, you know, if you're labeling special as the entire nature of that segment of broadcast time with additional, you know, included intro and outro bumps that they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. the official, you know, Muffet handoff kind of thing, you know, where he can just say, "Well, now that I've been dicking around with you for 8 months, here you go. Hope you like."
Yeah. Well, we've also got some stuff about the 11th Doctor Revisited coming out on BBC America next month. Just as we record this, we just had the 10th Doctor over the weekend. It's kind of weird being a Doctor Who podcaster and like going back and doing all these episodes all the time and everything. It kind of struck me as odd because I heard a lot of friends talking about it as they were watching, the End of Time and everything on the over the weekend. I'm like, that's right. Some people haven't watched this in, you know, years. And it was just kind of interesting to catch their view on it as they were going through it again.
Yeah. So always, again, I know we've been fawning about it all along, but when you get the opportunity to watch through even just the interview segments done for the Revisited series, they're really done with a very educated hand. As far as even making some of the darkest years seem interesting, you know, or genuinely are interesting. They find the points of interest in even some of the areas where the most diehard Whovians will say, yeah, that was a year or what have you. Or, yeah, that companion, she was a bit of a twat or what have you. You know, they'll find ways to be able to make it engaging because it's part of it's part of our lexicon at this point. I personally have not had a chance to see the 10th that just aired. I'm gonna have to release all my little birds to go find them for me. So, I'm hoping that this will actually be a nice set that's then later going to be provided. I know BBC America is not great about taking some of the specials that they've put together in years past and making them available again. It's usually one of those things where all of a sudden, if they have nothing to put in a programming slot in the middle of a Sunday afternoon, a year and a half later, they'll run it. Yeah. Like they did a nice little companions segment 2 years back that was a nice, you know, sort of 45-minute piece together that walked through more than just the new Whovian companions and did a nice job with it. And you'd never know if you didn't catch it the week it aired.
Right.
Because they ran it for about 7 days and it disappeared again. But this, because of the fact that they've made the effort of handing it back over to BBC proper to air on the UK side, maybe that means that they're a little happier with the outcome and it's something that they'll put out on a, you know, on an available, you know, purchase format. Somehow.
I'm hoping so. I mean, that's BBC America is starting to really get on my nerves lately. It's just, there doesn't seem to be, I don't know, it's all Top Gear or Star Trek The Next Gen or Kitchen Nightmares. And it's just like, yeah, I got this channel for one reason and you're disappointing me.
What, you're not getting into, we can't go the route of airing X-Files and professional wrestling?
Yeah. Careful what you wish for. Right.
And Copper got canceled, so if that was what you were watching it for.
Although a great thing's been hearing about Broadchurch.
Yeah, they're doing a U.S. version, and David Tennant's going to be in that one too. Have you heard that?
Why? Yes.
Yeah, just make one version.
I know.
Version of whatever it is.
We don't need a U.S. version. We promise.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, if they want to make U.S. versions of everything else they do, as long as they leave Doctor Who alone, I'll call that a fair deal.
Inspector Space Dive with Luke Perry.
Inspector Space Dive.
Yeah. So another thing that they're doing, we mentioned a little bit ago, is the Science of Doctor Who that's coming out on November 14th on BBC Two.
Yep. I tried to find a little more information about this to see whether they were going to be doing stateside broadcasts of this. And remember, funny enough that we were mentioning, you know, poorly distributed BBCA productions, they did an actual little hour put together clip show kind of piece called Science of Doctor Who on BBC America about 3 years ago. And it was crap. So if you go out searching for it online and try to see whether or not they're going to be broadcasting this particular production with Professor Cox, no, you're going to get a bunch of links that that reference this horrible thing that they put together a few years back that just said, the TARDIS is a really cool device and it's wibbly wobbly. We'll be back after a commercial. And then they come back and they say, the Cybermen wore giant handlebars on their heads. We'll be back after this commercial. And it goes on and on and on and on.
When you say Dr. Cox, I can't help but think of Scrubs, by the way.
I know. I'm sorry. Professor Cox. I'll just have to keep referring to it that way so we give him more collegiate and less snark.
I think he prefers that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's underlining it, Professor. But we've seen glimpses of him interviewed in some of the specials done before, and he's a great insight. In fact, we saw him appear in an episode as well, in The Power of Three. They gave him that nice little cameo, so that was always cool.
It'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah.
He knows how to play to the crowd, so it'll be a good show.
Very much so. And a lot like our stateside representation of cool professors like Phil Plate and Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's great at putting things into layman's terms for the rest of us dopes who don't have large strings of letters after our names to help us understand, even if your science is all made up.
So the other thing we've got is that the Day of the Doctor extra content has been I don't know if it's been confirmed or if it's just all speculation at this point. Hang on, I had the...
It's somewhere between speculation and confirmation. It's in that window.
Yeah, so it exists, probably.
People are talking about it, we're going to report on it, and that's it.
Pretty much, yeah. That's
squidgeably.
That's a nice word. I'm going to start using that.
Totally squidgeable.
That falls within the confines of squidgeability.
What did you just call me?
Oh, anyway, so it's they're saying a piece of additional material titled The Last Day, and it runs for 3 minutes and 57 seconds, and it said this could be the rumored minisode. A new trailer is also listed. Let's see, it's just some extra stuff that they're saying is possibly in there. So, I don't know.
Let's hope.
Right. Well, you talk about the release of the second trailer, or I should say, by our qualifications, as we've been referring to it, what we would think would be the first trailer, because the last one was a teaser.
Exactly.
It had nothing to do with the episode other than to get everybody, you know, slightly damp in the armpits and squealing. This one may actually take us through some of the photographies, some of the still shots that they've released of Hurt standing there with Tennant and Smith. All of the things that I was focusing on, like the fact that Hurt's wearing a bandolier with his slightly modified Mark IV sonic screwdriver tucked into one of the loops and so forth, you know, looks more like a Warriors version of a sonic screwdriver, if such a thing existed. Big red button on the end of it. Who knows? Don't know. But yeah, so it's I'm hoping that we're going to actually get, even if the whole thing is just a minute and however many seconds of just quick cut stuff flying at you, that's fine, because I know that I have a platoon of nerds who will sit there and freeze frame every segment of it.
I have a space bar. I can totally.
Exactly. Just take it all apart for me so I don't even have to think anymore. So go ahead and hand it over.
They, I mean, they're just toying with us at this point, releasing these things, you know?
Yeah. And it's really funny. A lot of these efforts that they're doing are not ones where they are really trying to generate any additional revenue. They know that they've got a locked viewer base on a global level. And at this point, it's really just a labor of love. Because it's not like, you know, we have to make sure we keep advertising this or nobody's going to watch.
Because everyone's going to watch.
Yeah, at this point, it's like the announcement of the announcement of a trailer is getting so much hype. It's like, really? It's like somebody said, hey, and we're reporting on that. Like,
they could sell $1.50 tickets for me to go into a theater to watch a trailer. I would put down my $1.50.
I'd blow $15
to see a trailer on a big screen.
Yeah.
Just loop it for 2 minutes.
The intervention will be at Jay's house. Sorry, kids, we can't go out to dinner tonight because Dad had to go watch a trailer.
Are you kidding? They'd be sitting there right next to me, like, bouncing the whole time, like, yay!
Sorry, kids, we're not going to be able to eat out for the rest of the month because you all wanted to come see the trailer.
Yeah.
Speaking about getting excited about things, tonight's episode, when we were originally planning for it back in April of last year, we were totally stoked about this one coming down the pike because this was going to be the one that showed us we're going to get to see the library and the pool and the kitchen and the bathrooms and the guest rooms and this and that and the other and the costume closet. And this was going to be it was a coin toss between whether we were more excited about this one or Nightmare in Silver, because Gaiman was back at the helm or at the pen for that. So the name said it all, and they were being very, very cryptic about it in some of the week prior scenes from next week and so forth. We got really, really excited about what this was going to do. Mm-hmm. And before we get ahead of ourselves and start recapping how we felt back then, we should probably do the walkthrough and then discuss whether or not our expectations or fears were justified back then.
Yeah.
How many of you have watched this again since sometime around that period in spring of last year?
No. I watched it two or three times when we first reported on it, and I haven't touched it since.
Okay.
So I'm going into...
I think I spun through it once, just because I wanted to see. I've been fascinated with a lot of the attention that they were paying to the refurbished console and the time rotor and things. I just kept trying to, to look over some of the aesthetic changes. So I kind of, maybe about 4 or 5 months back, I skimmed through the episode and jumped over certain parts, which we'll get to later, but focused a lot on the interior stuff. But I was, again, like I said earlier, it's like I watch it once for the glow and then again for the story and then again for the technical stuff. And this was getting around to the technical watching at that point.
All right, so you're the expert on the episode now. You've established.
Not even close. If anything, I just angered myself.
All right. So is everyone queued up at zero?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
We're seeing iTunes wanted to take a little bit of a nap, but we should be good. All right. Ready to go.
All right. So we will start in 3, 2, 1, go.
We're doing like one and then go?
I had this ship like sitting on my screen for a little while, just queued up in the background. And I came back in the room and I was like, what the heck game was I playing here?
Yeah.
It looks like something from
Mass Effect 4? What is this thing?
I forgot how much I hate the intro to this episode.
Why?
Just the setup. It just seems kind of like... it's because I've seen it and because I know what's coming. I'm jaded by it, I guess. So.
Okay. But now you get to notice all the little things, like the sexy blue alien pinup poster on the back wall.
Yeah.
The barcode on the dude's neck. I think that's a lot to work with as an actor, though. Like, this is all your backstory. You have all this stuff to play with.
Just convince him he's an android, because clearly he needs it.
Spoilers, dude.
That's one of those things. Just because I know how it is later on, it's just it irritates me that they're like beating him over the head with it. Like, remember, you're an android. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I do love this shot here, though, where they just
walk tracking around the tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Selling the fact, hello, look, we spent a lot of money for a 360 set. Hello. Lots and lots of money spent here.
Mm-hmm. Look at the shinies.
And I love the exchange between the doctor and Claire here, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Geordi LaForge eyes. Yeah, from the movies, not from the episode.
Is that like Betty Davis eyes?
Someone needs to get on the parody version of that right now.
Of course, we started into a cracking cult tune.
Oh, yeah.
Because they couldn't get the rights to AC/DC.
Well, they were tied up.
It all with the one on the submarine.
Well, we have to pay Audiovox and Duran Duran for the rights on this one? Oh, screw this.
Is she already scratching her hand?
Yeah, I didn't notice.
She was. She was already scratching her hand.
Nice catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime I see Matt Smith straining like that, I always imagine that he's grabbing something that's not supposed to move and he's trying to move it. I want a big friendly button. So I need to look on like the BBC American.
Yeah, well, it's called the space bar.
A BFB.
Yeah. Or the delete
deck. I like the fact that the thing was just shaped like one of those magic bullet blenders and things. I just pulled one of those out.
Here, a smoothie.
I don't know why they don't sell this stuff. I mean, like, the big friendly button, the cube from Power of Three. It's like, this is the kind of stuff they need to be putting on the BBC shop page.
Right. How much would it cost for them to make a cube? I would buy it.
$5 for this thing that cost us 3 cents. So,
and they could say that they were all on set because there's so many, you would never know.
I'd buy a dozen.
They're like limited edition, but there's like a million.
It's one of the things I never really thought about was the because of the relative mass of the TARDIS. Honestly,
that's not
it's like
the
crane just kind of bringing it around, you know?
Yeah.
It's I don't know, the way I've always understood it is kind of like, you know, on the outside it's blue, and then on the inside it's Wednesday. You know, it's just not comparable. You know. Did it bother anybody else watching him like stomp on the door and hit it with the hammer?
I just kind of inserted myself into the scene and imagining just coming in there and fangirling out like, oh my god, you guys found the TARDIS!
Don't touch it!
Get away from it!
Just boot it out the door and, you know, sweep it under the rug.
Everyone has this accent in the future, too.
They're all Southerners.
Well, I mean, they're brothers. It's not too crazy to think that they have the same accent.
And of course, in the distant future, we're all still very, very British.
Well, yeah, of course.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard the Doctor swear.
I like how it takes him that long to realize Claire's not there.
And his first adjective is feisty.
Yeah. Well, he's in fuddy-duddy mode now, so...
Yeah.
How quickly he bounces from absent-minded professor to full knowledge of all these... multiple galaxies, and
I can't wait to see what Capaldi does with this kind of thing.
I can't wait to see what kind of persona or what kind of spin Dr. Smith chooses to play when he has Tennant right in front of him.
Yeah.
Because Tennant was consistent.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Huh. It's an interesting thought.
I wonder why they believe him, though. Just because I'm going to tell you there's a salvage of a lifetime.
Because they're greedy.
And bored.
Yeah. And how did she end up in a corridor?
Flying?
When they were both in the control room. You need to go get an aloe. Help with that.
When I have burns, I don't blow on them.
Or rub them like that.
I put ice on them. Yeah. But rubbing and blowing, you know.
I want to touch the button.
With my hurt hand.
Yes.
Her hand doesn't hurt.
And she knew what the button would do there.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that the thumb is up above.
Right, and that's a huge hand compared to hers.
Yeah, big meaty paw.
It's this guy's hand right here.
Van Balen.
Mm-hmm. One of them.
Clue number, whatever.
You my mummy.
You my modern mummy. Because I have the key.
Big difference.
Because yeah. I pushed instead of pull, which it says to do.
I would have loved to have seen them, like, you know, come walking in at an angle and then straighten up.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, really.
Everybody take your masks off because, you know, you need FaceTime.
There's a pool.
Yeah, it just seems a little too, like, he doesn't really sell it right here. Mm-mm. I love the nice toggle switches. It was like a nice toggle.
Clearly, we always know the self-destruct sequences have a recording that says self-destruct in 59 minutes.
I know.
It should be the voice of Idris.
That would be awesome. And the baby crib.
All right, so now we get to play Name Those Props.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctor's crib.
Amy's TARDIS.
Yep.
That's what my gingerbread house looked like last year.
Nice. Now, which umbrella was that? Had like the bamboo handle?
We talked about it's either her umbrella from the Snowman episode or Eighth Doctor's umbrella. Right?
Right. I had originally thought it was Eighth. Because I didn't get a good look at hers.
Actually, I think that it was like, yeah, like a bamboo handle. It's not specifically the same as any of those. I don't know.
It always confuses me why the Doctor wears a watch. That you would spend half your time just resetting it.
Maybe he wants to know what his body clock is always on, if that matters.
Yeah, he's got to have some kind of circadian rhythms.
Yeah.
All right. So there we've got our observation room. There's pool.
With flippers, just right there.
And which you can see stars from the observation room and the pool. Like, what is the position of the stars? Does it change every?
Whatever you want it to point at.
Yeah, probably you walk in and it knows what you want to see.
Now that's a library.
Mm-hmm. I could live there.
Well, it's large. Lots of people could live there.
Everyone can live there.
And this bothers me, too. It's this guy is always doing the damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's just the thing. They established that early on. You know, don't do any thinking. You know what happens when you think. Do what you do best. Here's an axe.
See, now he started thinking, and what happens?
I remember when this episode first came out, I loved sitting there and like just listening to that audio there and trying to pick out everything I could.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Fascinating setting.
How's that computer going to know everything I could possibly? Maybe right now I want some eggnog, but then in 20 minutes I'm going to want a cheeseburger. Is it eggnog and a cheeseburger back there? I really feel like that should have been done by something other than a scanner.
Right.
Yeah, and especially one that only had, like, LEDs on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been the new Nokia.
Yeah. It's like it wasn't even Siri. It's just, like, you know, the old the LCD handheld games from the 80s.
How did they split up and go different directions and then just happen to get there right as he was popping?
Didn't you see all the hallways are cyclical?
Except for the ones where Clara is.
I seriously think that I'm going to decorate a tree in my house like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grow a tree in my yard just so I can decorate it like that.
It'd be beautiful.
That's good. Taunt the living ship.
Yeah.
Once again, I feel like he didn't defend the TARDIS enough. Like, no, yeah. Don't. Like, Willy Wonka. Right. It's like, don't do that. Don't.
It's true.
In the book, we don't know who wrote.
Yeah. But apparently it's written in English.
Right.
Well, it translates to whatever she can
TARDIS read. Translator.
Yeah, but written language always takes longer. That was established.
Yeah, but it was just waiting for her to show up. Right? She walked in the room.
Bloody pedestal.
What would be funny is if it's like Google Translate, we're not quite exactly right.
The encyclopedia.
The pensive of good yeah. time lords.
Yeah, I was going to say, when the heck did she go to Hogwarts? I kind of like the idea. It's different. It's novel, but at the same time, it's like, how is that even remotely practical?
Right. Spill it out, and then it's gone.
Yeah. Oops. And you just hope that you happen to hear something that pertains to what you're looking for.
Or maybe you put it in a little pump applicator like cologne, so you just get a whiff of knowledge.
Well, maybe you're supposed to put it in a basin that then feeds it back, and you kind of, it swirls around, and you listen, and then you put it back in the jar.
And you dip your face in, and you remember all the memories of the people that wrote it. Just,
wouldn't that be it? That'd be, boy, that'd be a novel idea if someone thought of that.
Wouldn't that be it? But you can leave them there so people can randomly walk in and hear them.
Oh. Right, right.
Right. Like auditory potpourri.
It smells like knowledge in here.
No dress sense, dreadful hats.
Here's where the script gets a little squidgy.
Yeah.
This whole idea about time echoes and things.
I don't know, I wouldn't have held on that long, and I probably wouldn't have jumped back to get away.
he's not up for any, you know, master's degrees or anything here.
This actually made me happy when he got it, though.
No, but who was that got him? Himself?
Which one of the time zombies?
Was yeah, it like, could this be was? Clara?
That's the only way that you can... Well, it couldn't be them two, because they're stuck together.
Yeah, it could have been...
Yeah. So it's himself.
Yeah. It was either him or Clara, because the doctor has his hand over his face as a time zombie.
I feel like Clara would be sizably different.
I wish that they had done a better job of explaining these things.
Yeah.
Or made
it. It wouldn't have taken much.
Yeah.
I think with the time that they spent on some of the other sequences that really weren't as intrinsic to the plot, this could have.
Yeah. I feel like this whole episode just failed to live up to the promise. Yeah. First, we get told that the name of it is Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, which I guess technically they did go to the center of the TARDIS, but. Yeah, then we're told we're going to see more of the TARDIS than we've ever seen before. And I'm like, okay, so we see more corridors?
Yeah. Yes. More corridors than ever before.
And then the control room, and a slightly different control room. And a couple of, you know, prints of rooms sort of this episode. And the expectations were way high.
By our own doing, of course.
But. Well, yeah, but... still, it's like there was a lot of room between where my expectations were and where this actually went. Like, you could have gone a little bit higher, but...
I have to agree.
Team TARDIS.
How do you know it wasn't just another time zombie? Wait a minute, he... Okay, never mind. I was going to say, he never put that in some of the war.
See, that one's Clara. Mm-hmm. She's chasing herself. I feel like maybe the time zombies are drawn to their...
creation, I mean...
Yeah.
Again, that's one hell of a scanner.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently can scan through time as well.
Well, with a little bit of a TARDIS boost.
I love Clara's face there. She's like, well, I just got away from a time zombie and now the engine's going to explode. Like, yeah, that's par for the course.
Yeah, so.
BFB.
And ensure that you get burned up by a storm. Because clearly you enjoy being that way.
It's very Terminator.
No, it's either them or pterodactyls come. And from the Ninth Doctor episode, anything to correct the time stream.
and we're just now seeing the first instances of it, huh?
As we get to the lower floors, closer to the point of origin, perhaps?
Maybe. It just seems very hand-wavy. Now, how is it making sound?
From its liquid magma core.
All right, so one thing I'm noticing here, like with the when we watched Hyde last week, they kept the monster kind of out of focus and stuff, and same thing with Cold War, but it worked. And in this one, it's just very obvious. They're like, okay, everything's out of focus because the monster's in the scene.
Mm.
Yeah, with the other two, it was done in such a way that you're like, okay, yeah, it makes sense in the shot. And here, it's just very obvious. We don't want you to see it yet, so blurry screen.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't supposed to feel pain.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen.
Why are you screaming? Why are you screaming and grunting? Joke.
Because that says gag. That is top-notch humor there.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you expect that for April Fool's Day? I'm going to get you into a life-threatening situation and then, you know, erase your memory somehow and tell you that you're an android.
But your government's secret, so you can't tell people.
What?
Fool you.
Yeah, Will, you open every door.
They're doors. It's what you do.
Oh, right.
What kind of idiot believes them?
Cheap patch. Came right off.
It was Velcro.
Horrible tailor. It's Velcro. Yeah, we changed the company name every couple of years for tax evasion purposes. We don't look like Van Balens. You guys aren't very Scandinavian, are you? So smart that you couldn't figure out these.
No, I don't think it was that
one. Well, look who they're comparing him to when they say smart.
Do they say how long he's thought he's an android? Because
no.
They said it was an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember if they say it was a specific time or not, but they make it seem like it's been a number of years at least.
Right.
So is this the first time that we ever actually see the Eye of Harmony?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to Fifth Doctor. I want to say there was an episode where he was at the controls for it. I don't think you actually ever entered the room. Fifth Doctor also being the one where we... Probably the only other regeneration where we spent as much time in other areas of the TARDIS than ever before.
Yeah. As opposed to Seventh Doctor, where large portions of his run, they just didn't even have a TARDIS set.
Right. Right. Hmm. Now, I do want to say... Let me do a little walk in here while we're...
It just seems weird the Doctor's trying to like keep her secret at all the way. Like it's like, no, don't tell her.
I like his reading of "I'm so sorry."
I remember thinking that this was so fantastic, getting all this information and stuff about Clara, and it all led to naught. How many times can we run back and forth across a bridge?
Yeah, how did they turn into this?
Why are they so angry?
Well, they really wanted enchiladas for lunch, but it was lasagna day at the cafeteria. Yeah, it puts anybody in a foul mood. Complete
crap. Overcooked. I wanted a lot more of this in this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
But one hug will make it all better.
Well, yeah.
She's always slipping backwards.
Apparently the Doctor's really good at hugging. Who knew?
What does a wounded animal do? It bites. It scratches, it bites.
See, now I'm just wondering what Capaldi's catchphrase is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
when he jumps into things. The Crap.
Is it a fuel pump?
And a way of just tying up the of an RTD episode. It's like, none of this makes sense. Let's go ahead and just... Yep, there we go. Now, how did they get back to the control?
How did they get back? Just... They leapt into a chasm.
The TARDIS knew they needed to be there.
And now the sonic screwdriver is also the handy wood-burning tool.
Metal-burning, not wood.
Well, you know.
It doesn't work on wood.
Yeah.
Is he going to make one of those really cool wallets with your initials on it like we used to do in summer camp?
I remember how antagonizing this whole seemed at the time.
Well, that's just it with this episode. They have these moments where, you know, after watching a bit of crap and some running around and so forth, they'll have something where you want to see them take it just a bit farther. And it never gets the chance to. You know, that moment inside the stilled moment in time where he's really starting to feel the loss of the TARDIS because he doesn't feel he's going to be able to save her, that could have been a great monologue. But they went the big friendly button route and got out of it really quickly.
Mm-hmm. So is this another one of those moments where, you know, crossing your own timeline is okay as long as it works for the script?
Well, because the act of crossing your own timeline will mean you don't have to cross your own timeline, so it rectifies its own paradox. Hand wave.
Literal hand
wave. I don't know how many... no, hand waving just doesn't work there. It's just crap. But the picture's whole again.
And badly photoshopped. I mean,
did he just smack her ass with the towel?
Yes, he did.
Feisty. That's not a button.
Yeah.
That's a lever.
A handled lever.
Well, and as you can see from the scenes from the next, we will be embarking in our next episode on the lovely, the brilliant, I can't do this with a straight face. Jennifer Crimson Horror. It's got a great cast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Strax.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? How does this rank with your
I still feel the same as I did about it the last time. You know,
turn to the center of the TARDIS.
Yeah, I got some things that were enjoyable out of it, but I got just as many things that I kind of nitpicked at because it warranted it. You know, it had loose threads and bits that needed to get sanded down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I found that I liked it less this time than I did originally.
That's kind of how I feel as well. Why do you say that?
Like originally, it was, you know, I don't know. I was hanging on to everything, waiting for something big to happen. Something that, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like there was more excitement in it originally, and then this time, it's like, yeah, I know that this doesn't lead anywhere. I know it all gets retconned in the last 2 minutes. So, I have a trouble caring about it anymore.
I did. Knowing now the answer to the Clara mystery, though, some of their one-on-one conversations, at least I felt, gave me a little bit more reassurance that Moffat was leaving breadcrumbs along the way, however sloppily.
There's a lot of the person watching saying why, and there's not enough of the because coming from the episode, so it's just not enough to
rather than giving you a concise answer, they're gonna, you know, move you on into the next adventurous moment.
Yeah, and why go back and do all, why put those characters there, why burn some of them and not the others, and how did he know that? I mean, he had his hand on his face. Why was that not the moment, which would have had to have been for the doctor to be burned to his hand to his face? But it didn't happen just because he took it away. So it doesn't really. Yeah. It's just too much of that without giving you anything really exciting, like you said, with the interior of the TARDIS. And you already knew there's a pool. You knew there's a library. So what they show you, the things you already know.
You knew that. You know that the pool sometimes goes into the library.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pool apparently shifts all over the place because, you know, River managed that one dive from on top of the building.
Straight into the pool.
Yeah, into the
pool. I mean, that was one hell of a shot down the hallway.
You don't turn when you walk into the TARDIS. You just pop to the right direction, which means, so she probably just landed straight, you know, swimming laps.
If you're standing in the right spot at the console, you'll see her like fly past you down.
Every time I see that episode, I can't help but remember the Monsters, Inc. when they jump through the door on the floor, and then they just, you see them shoot out the door and then drop to the floor again.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. That. Yes.
Like, that's what I picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Immediate proper placement where you're supposed to be standing.
Exactly. Wonky gravity.
All right. So you guys have any last words?
Avoid snarling animals, I guess.
Yeah.
Because apparently snarling is
good advice.
All right. Well, so this has been episode 58 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying that apparently my pranks on my brothers were way below standard.
Seriously. And this is Melissa saying, leave me alone, I'll be in the TARDIS pool for a while.
This is Kira saying, I'll see you guys next week. I'm going to head off to my tattoo artist to get that UPC code put on my throat.
And this is Julie saying, why? Because.
We'll see you guys next week.
I'll see.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. Have something to say, something we got wrong, or something you just need to weigh in on? Send us an email at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com or leave us a voicemail at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You can also find us on Twitter at Gallifrey Radio, on Stitcher Smart Radio, Facebook.com/Gallifrey Public Radio, or on iTunes. You can also head over to our homepage at GallifreyPublicRadio.com, where you can leave comments on each episode and get into discussions on the topics we bring up. You can also keep up to date on all the latest news and what's going on in the community. Music by Beyond the Epilogue and Retcon Addict.
Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2013.